thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally here with Ray Jeezy. We'll tease out watching basketball games. It's on a break, man. It is opening night in the NBA. It really is. And that means that it's the opening week in the NBA, and the Washington Wizards start their season off Thursday night against the Miami Heat. But we're not going to talk about that right now. You listen to the Urban Sports Scene again. Wally here with Ray. What's going on, Ray?
I'm good. I'm not always excited around this time of the year for basketball. You know that because I feel like the buzz is just not there until about Christmas.
Yeah, Christmas. That's about the average, you know. But I think that's, you know, there's a young crop of rookies, young players, and LeBron is out of the East. You know, a lot of people are excited to see what the East can come up from with LeBron being gone.
There are some good storylines. Mm-hmm. The NBA is pretty good. Mm-hmm. I can't lie. Might be a little bit better than the NFL from an entertainment standpoint. But, you know, I'm a college sports guy. And college football actually,
it's entertaining.
From an attendance standpoint, yeah, does better than the NFL, at least from my vantage point right
more
now,
it's more,
which
more.
Is crazy. But you know what? I'm having a good show. I'm going to concede my Adrian Peterson argument for now for the simple fact that he's better than who's behind him. You're right about that. And the stats can't lie to this point in the season. But I still think you got to give that man a break.
Oh, he does need
at his age. Well, you know what I'm saying? That was kind of my point.
You'll see.
You shouldn't ride him to death.
They have to, unfortunately, right now. They just have to.
It's tough.
But yeah, they have to. But subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and Google Play. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Will T would normally say that he's not here. So let's get into our tradition, the pregame. Here are our topics. We'll talk about the Washington Redskins defeating the Carolina Panthers 23-17. At 8:20, co-host of Bottom Line on iHeartRadio AM 1300, The Zone, Mike Harge will join us. He is out of Austin, Texas. It's Dallas week, so he want to talk to the enemy. I want to call him the enemy, but you know what I mean. You know, but he's in Dallas, Texas, and he has a radio show.
We know he's personally not the enemy. We got you, brother.
Yeah, no, you know
down.
What I'm saying? You know
Calm
what I'm
down,
saying?
Brother.
You know,
nobody,
know what I'm saying?
Nobody's going to mistake you for
exactly. Thank you. I appreciate
guy.
That, bro. I appreciate that. At 8:30, we'll make our Week 7 NFL picks. At 8:40, Truth About It's Washington Wizards reporter Troy Halliburton will join us to talk about the Washington Wizards.
Troy better be on time season. Tonight. He'll be watching this game. I know he is.
Season opener against the Miami Heat. Finally, at 8:50, we'll talk about Terrence Bud Crawford retaining his WBO welterweight title.
Looking forward
by
to that.
TKO and Jose Benavidez.
Oh, you said it wrong. That's a tough last name.
Benavidez. Oh, sorry. Benavidez. Excuse me.
It's
sorry.
A tough last name.
Benavidez. Jose Benavidez Jr. I had tried to like write it out so I can say it correctly. Sunday, the Washington Redskins defeated the Carolina Panthers 23-17. What are your thoughts of the game?
I first of all want to say that both of us picked the Redskins last week.
Sure did.
Because we thought it was a winnable matchup. Yeah. And then when you're coming off such an embarrassing loss, you know the team was going to come out pumped up at home. One thing that impressed me was I felt like the team, based on what I saw, the coaches prepared them for this game. And listening to the telecast, were you in person, by the way?
Yeah, I was impressed.
Okay, so you were in the press box. Mm-hmm. I was watching the broadcast on TV. They were saying how Jay Gruden seemed more locked in than they've ever seen him this week after that embarrassing Monday night loss. And I said, you know what? That's great because we talked about this at length last week. Jay Gruden just doesn't seem like the type that prepares well for games, doesn't motivate his team. This week, they seem motivated. Josh Norman looked motivated against the old team, which wasn't a big storyline because Josh Norman hasn't played well to this point.
And that was a storyline. And you
was
know,
it? We didn't really
him
discuss
not playing,
it.
We didn't talk about
oh,
it.
Oh, him not playing
him
well.
Him not playing well.
Was a storyline. But not him going
bench.
Against the Panthers, though, right?
And, yeah. No. That wasn't really a storyline.
That's what I was
to
saying.
To real talk, that wasn't really a storyline. The storyline more was, you know, he got benched the first play in the second half of the New Orleans Saints game. And, you know, people thought that was because of performance, but word was that he had his headphones on when Jay Gruden was addressing the team, and that was more of a disciplinarian action. But that was more of the, you know, the talk was, you know, his relationship with Jay Gruden and the coaching staff.
I'm glad that the defense got turnovers early.
Yeah, Josh.
That cushion in the first half helped him seal the game because the offense didn't play well in the second half, which has kind of been a trend, it seems like.
Yes.
But those three turnovers were critical. Mm. Feel bad for DJ Moore? Coming back home.
Oh, I know. Two fumbles.
It sucks.
I know. Two fumbles.
it sucks, but you know what?
That kid's going to be special, though, man. I think he's going to be good with Cam down the road.
He's an excellent talent. Mm-hmm. It's just one of those games where he was probably anxious being in front of friends and family, as it was pointed out as we were watching it. But those turnovers were key for the Redskins. That jumped out at me. The middle of the field was open, though, too much.
Mm-hmm. You mean in terms of the defense with the defensive line?
Yes. I like Zach Brown, and I think, you know, he tackles well. I'm just worried about the linebacking core as a whole, though.
Yeah.
Ioannidis played well, but again, pass rush was not the best in the second half. The middle of the field was open. Cam, he looked accurate, but as you saw, when you got pressure on him, he wasn't.
Yeah.
So you got to get pressure on quarterbacks. You got a tough task coming up these next several weeks with the Cowboys, as we just discussed, which I know we're going to talk about that with Dak. And then my Falcons will be coming to town very soon as well. But
high potent offense.
You have to get pressure.
And, you do.
And I was worried. Cam didn't run wild like I thought, though.
Yeah, some people think that was North Turner more than Cam. A lot of people think that was North, not Cam.
Maybe it was. Mm-hmm. I told you last week, a dual threat scares me going against this Washington defense.
Oh, yeah.
But Mason Foster did make a good solo tackle down in the red zone on Cam, which prevented Cam from scoring. Mm-hmm. But still, he's a weakness in the passing game. I'm sorry to say it. As much as I like him as a hard worker.
He is. I mean, you saw it in that game. So, you know, what I thought about the game was, you know, we talked about Adrian Peterson, 17 carries, 97 yards. To be honest with you, I'm not the only one who thought this, and a couple of folks in the press box, we were all talking about it, that this game shouldn't have been close if Jay decided to feed Adrian Peterson some more. But after, you know, hearing, you know, some of the talk after the game, you could tell that Adrian Peterson was in so much pain in terms of the shoulder separation, also a banged up knee he had, that I think that Jay didn't feel like leaning on him because of that situation. But again, he was effective throughout that whole game.
He played well. Effective. Again, you were watching from the press box. If you watch when the camera zoomed in on him in the red zone, he was breathing very heavily, but that's because they were running him. And he's in great shape. So I was wondering, are they putting too much pressure on him at his age?
No, I don't think they're putting that much pressure because
not
getting
too much pressure, but are they relying too heavily on him?
Well, to be honest with you, they're not relying on him enough.
Well, at his age, you shouldn't be giving him but so many carries. How many carries do you think he's averaging?
33 years old. He's 33 years old, man. You don't know how many
football years, brother.
No. My point is he's been playing well. You don't know when it's just going to like bottom out. You might as well run it to the wheels fall off. At the end of the day, like he's your most talented player. And he's not going to be on this team for how long? I don't think, to be honest with you, I don't think Adrian Peterson is going to be on this team next season. So why not run him out till you can? Because this team needs to get W's. They need to stack up on W's. Again, AP was effective in this game. This game should have been close. I mean, we talk about it like the turnovers that Josh Norman helped provide with the interception, the strip as well. Like this team had plenty of opportunity to blow this game out. And there was opportunities when you thought that Jay got a little pass happy where he should have fed Adrian Peterson the football.
We're talking, so
to me, 97 yards is cool. I mentioned like averaging 5.7 yards a carry against the Panthers was cool. But at the end of the day, that could have been far worse. To be honest with you, if you give him six more carries, he could have like 120, 150, and that, to me, the game is not even close. Cam doesn't get that last drive because, like you said, Ray, I felt that, you know, Cam was starting to get a rhythm because the defense was getting no pressure. They didn't decide to bring any pressure in terms of blitzes or whatnot. They played coverage, but you saw on the last drive that they decided to bring some pressure, and then Cam wasn't accurate. I think that's something they have to look into in the future. This front four isn't getting pressure with no extra man coming out. So I think now they're going to have to think about bringing in Mason Foster on some blitzes or even that was tough. taking the J, that was tough. Mason Foster on some blitzes and Zach Brown. But again, I think this is a game that they needed and they won.
I was upset with the defense also, and this goes to the D coordinator. Mm-hmm. They weren't dialing up enough blitzes.
They weren't. I'm saying they weren't.
The Panthers were.
No, yeah.
And the Panthers' blitzes were effective. And I was shocked that Alex Smith just didn't adjust as a quarterback. I don't know if it's Jay or what, but that was what really miffed me. I said they're getting ready to give this game away.
Mm-hmm.
I was concerned, but overall, good game. Strong Panthers team that's never out of a game as the Giants learned the week before. But on the road, it's a little bit different for that squad.
No, I definitely agree. So. You're listening to Urban Sports, saying Wally and Ray. Reports are out that the Cardinals are trying to trade Patrick Peterson, and the Raiders are trying to trade Amari Cooper. Do you think they would be that? Those are players that the Raiders should be interested in.
Patrick Peterson, definitely.
Yeah.
How could you acquire him is the question.
Yeah, I guess that's the thing. Would you give up a Josh Norman to see if you can get him? Because you know Josh Norman does have ties with Wilkes, the head coach With the Cardinals. He used to be his coordinator out there in
I think people
Carolina.
Who really know football would be okay with that deal. Mm-hmm. If you're just loyal to the man himself, which mm-hmm. some fans are, unfortunately, then you're not going to want Josh Norman to be traded. But I think he should be.
Yeah.
You're getting a younger cornerback who is still at the top of his game and might be the best corner in the league.
Yeah.
I can't necessarily definitively say there's anybody better than Patrick Peterson.
Mm-hmm. I posed this question on Twitter about Patrick Peterson and also Amari Cooper. At JB, most of JB Rod said they don't have the assets or cap space.
Yeah,
really,
see, that's what I'm saying. How can you make it work?
Fat Mondo said, if they had the cap space, I'd trade Norman for Peterson, a third and a fourth round pick.
Whew. Man, now you don't want to regress. I don't know how long he's going to be on the block, but you got to see how the next few weeks unfold. They need to not let their guard down, prepare the right way. Really had that same edge that you had for this Carolina Panthers game.
Mm-hmm.
Preparing for Dallas. Reason why I mention this, because if you win a few more ball games, you remain at the top of this division, which is very winnable, then maybe you don't need to make a move. Maybe you continue to develop the guys you have and ride this season out, make a nice playoff run, and maybe you can build in the draft next year. Do it the right way. Keep your picks.
How about Mari Cooper? Would that be a player that you think they should target?
I'm still in the faction that Dez should be a target.
Okay.
You wouldn't have to give up anything for
Dez. Good point.
You can sign him. I think Dez at some point is going to get desperate. His agent is going to make a move because mm-hmm. right now it seems though he's still holding out for more money.
Because you know you got Crowder out. Crowder looks like he's struggling with injuries right now, and that's a talented wide receiver you don't have on your
team. I will
right now.
Say that Doxson was targeted more this game, which
yeah.
is a good sign.
And Jay said that though.
And
Jay
you got
said
and you have to continue to build that chemistry between him and Alex Smith. Maybe he has that breakout game you've been talking about. We laugh at him. We call him the secret weapon. Some people think he's the soft weapon. But no matter what you think, he's got to build confidence. Right now, his confidence isn't there. I can see in his body language.
Yeah.
But he's so athletic, though.
I think Jay did a good job by trying to get him started. I feel like that should be the formula down in the future with Josh Dotson.
And it can work.
Get him some slants. So, you know, it's like basketball, right? When you may hit a couple layups, and all of a sudden, now you feel good about yourself. Now you're hitting threes
right.
and whatnot. So it's something to warm him up. You know, give him a couple slants, some easy passes, and then you can kind of go vertical with him.
And them slants are going to be important coming up. This Dallas defense can blitz, and they're one of the top defenses in the league.
Yes,
so you have to prepare for the possibility that your offense may give up some turnovers just because Dallas is that good at forcing turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to provide that offense, which has struggled up until last week against the Jaguars, out of all teams.
Yeah.
They've struggled to put up points.
Yeah, so like you mentioned, it's Cowboys week. Cowboys beat the Jaguars 40-7. Finish the sentence for me. The Skins beat the Cowboys if?
The Skins beat the Cowboys if you run the ball effectively. Mm-hmm. That's been the formula this year, right?
Yes.
With Adrian Peterson.
Adrian Peterson.
I'm not going to say with the trio of backs, even though I think P-Ron needs some time, but whatever.
I think he should get a little. I think he should. With the way Adrian Peterson is feeling right now, I think they should give P-Ron some burn. Or Capri Bibbs, to be honest with you.
You control the clock. You also limit that Dallas pass rush with manageable third downs. You have a third and two.
Yeah.
They're not going to be dialing up blitzes as much because,
yeah, I agree.
Hey, you're going to leave your corners one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key, if you ask me. Their offense is not the greatest, but you got to stop Zeke as well. And that's it.
For me, it's always about Adrian Peterson, right? Like that's like my boy, right? According to you, that's my dude.
According to me?
No, you're right. All right. If the Skins beat the Cowboys, if Adrian Peterson gets about 15 carries, 15 more. Sorry, at least 15 or more carries. Excuse me. Sorry, 15 or more carries and gets 100 plus yards. I mean, I feel like if that happens, if AP gets 100 plus yards, this team has a good opportunity to beat the Dallas Cowboys. But that won't be easy. The Cowboys, like you mentioned, Ray, the Cowboys have the fourth best defense in the NFL. The Cowboys, their defense is tied for second in the league for allowing the fewest yards per carry, which is 3.5. So this Cowboys team defensively hasn't been strong. I think, you know, a lot coming into the season, many thought the Cowboy defense would be okay. But to be honest with you, it's been one of the best defense. It's an early season. It's been one of the best defenses in the NFL. Also, we saw a little wrinkle against the Carolina Panthers. I do want to see this team continue running their three tight end sets. I think you get an opportunity to keep the Cowboys in a base. I know Tatum's a beast. In a base defense, you'll have Jordan Reed, Vernon Davis, in situations on passing routes, them going out against probably safeties and inside linebackers or outside linebackers or whatnot. And also, it kind of reminds me of like the New England Patriots with Gronk and Aaron Hernandez. If you can use them that way, I feel like you can get some favorable matchups against the Dallas Cowboys. But yeah, I just think, and you mentioned about Zeke Elliott, like the Skins winning if they contain Zeke. I won't say you can stop him, but if they can contain Zeke,
I love Zeke.
I mean, if they can contain Zeke and put the pressure on Dak, they have a good opportunity to beat the Cowboys. To me, if they can put the game on Dak's shoulders, I feel like the Skins have about an 80% chance of winning the game.
Last year, that was one of the games I covered, was the Cowboys here in D.C., and mm-hmm. I was there in the press box, and really Dak had one of his worst games. Yeah. I know that personally because he was my fantasy quarterback. but again, Ezekiel Elliott, you can't bring him down with the first hit. They're going to have to come to tackle.
Exactly.
Many were talking about how Devin Funchess mossed Quinn Dunbar.
Oh, she sure did.
Now, this week, you face a different challenge in the slot
with
Cole Beasley, who had a monster game last week against the
so
Jaguars.
Fabian Moreau has a step up. He's played well this season. I've liked the way Fabian has played this season in the second year. He's a guy that, you know, a lot of people said before the game against the Carolina Panthers that he was the second best corner on the team. But he played well. And on the last pass of Cam on that third, on that fourth down play, Fabian made the key play for them to turn down. I mean, you know, for them not to get the first down. Or a touchdown. Was that a first down? It was a first down play they were going for. It wasn't an end zone target, was it?
It wasn't an end zone target.
Yeah, it was a first down. Sorry, excuse me, for the first down. And Fabian made a big defensive play on that play.
That's how you win playoff games. That's how you win championships. Yeah. You make plays at the right time. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be the best the entire game. But
you don't.
On that last drive. But that's the scary part, though, is you allow a team to drive down that easily, though, which scares me. I'm an Atlanta fan. Atlanta always drives to, what, like the 10-yard line or even closer and can never score. And, again, in the playoffs last season, remember the Eagles beat Atlanta mm-hmm. by only a few points. Atlanta was in the red zone, mm-hmm. had four cracks at it from inside the 10 and can't score. And the Eagles going to win a Super Bowl. That makes such a big difference.
It does.
Like I said, I'm not an anti-Washington guy. I just feel like there's some things that they need to fix now while you can, and you have to win the games you're supposed to. You win this game, you're in the driver's seat in the NFC East, period.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I don't think you're saying anything that's wrong, you know, if you not being a Skins fan or whatever, or being an anti-Skins fan. I think you're speaking facts. We asked the same thing on our Facebook page. You know, the Skins win this game if Dwight Parker said run the ball and set up play action. Agree. I think you definitely have to run the ball. Marcus Roberts said if they can run the ball and the O-line will give Alex Smith time to throw the ball, and naturally the defense has to play well, beat the Cow Babies.
But see, here's the thing again. If you run the ball effectively, then you won't find yourself in third and nines and third and 11s. You minimize the penalties. And on defense, you have to stop Zeke. That's the key to beating the Cowboys.
Stop
if Zeke has a big game, it's going to be hard to beat the Cowboys.
You ain't winning. In a Redskins Facebook group called Washington's Redskins Fans, Richard Lewis said, they show up and play their hearts out, and AP gets 100 yards rushing. It's all, I told you, AP, man. AP's a popular dude, man. Real talk. So AP's a popular dude.
I can't argue. He's your best option at running back. I can't sit here and argue it. I still feel like I said, I think P. Ryan out of all people. I've been arguing for Fat Rob because I'm just being a little loyal to him. Uh-huh. But you get him involved, and I think this is critical, man, that you have more than just AP because, mm-hmm. as you said, he's battling injuries. You got to think about that again at his age. But AP is your best option.
All right, well, it's time to
I said AP is your best option.
I know I'm trying to play it off.
Oh, sorry.
It's time to go to
looking for that transition.
And you know I'm looking for my transition. And also somebody's calling calling for our guest is calling. So I'm trying to make sure I do two things at once.
Okay.
It's Cowboys Week. We'll talk about the Skins' next opponent with Mike Harge from AM 1300 The Zone up in Austin, Texas. After the break, you listen to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces.
Chill.
Big Pimpin', baby. That's right. Big pimpin', spinning cheese. You know I thug 'em, hug 'em, love 'em, leave 'em, but I don't trust or need 'em. Take 'em out the hood, keep 'em looking good. With diamond cuts that'll freeze 'em. First time they fuss, I'm breezing. Talk about what's the reasons. I'm a pimpin' every sense in the word, mama. Better trust and believe 'em. in the cup where I keep them. Till I need to what? Till I need to beat it up. Then it's beep beep. Then I'm picking them up. Then I play with it quick in the truck. Many chicks wanna put jigger piston cuffs. Divorce I'ma split his bucks. Just because you got good sex, I'ma break bread so you could be living it up. I pass with nothing, y'all be frontin'. Me give my heart to a woman, not for nothing, never happen. I be forever macking, hard codes and assassins. I got no passion, I got no patience.
You, you are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with me, Wally, Ray Jeezy. Will T is not in the building.
Yeah, but he's texting what? Though. Don't text us if you're not gonna be here, sir.
Is he texting about the show?
Yeah, talking about NBA season.
Is he listening?
Of course he's not. Only I listen to the show and I
know that's real talk, man. You that's real talk though. But right now we have co-host of Bottom Line on iHeartRadio AM 1300 The Zone, Mike Harge online. What's going on, Mike?
What's going on, fam? You good?
Yeah, but it's going on. You know what? We are blessed. When we set the show up, I had said, you know, a guy coming up from enemy territory, and I messed up. You're not an enemy, all right? You're not the enemy, all right? And this is like, even though it's Redskins Cowboys week, it's all love here.
I appreciate that because it is all love for about 5 more minutes.
I know that's right. I know that's right. All right, so. You all just had a big victory over the Jags. What is the temperature up there with the Cowboys, and how are they viewing the Washington Redskins?
Well, here's the true thing, man. For the last couple of weeks, I've been off. Believe it or not, I've been off the Cowboys bandwagon.
Wow. Okay.
Not in a bad way, but it's just, you know, you sit and you look at the same program. And I call it a program because Jerry's treating it like it's college.
It's like it's college.
You know what I'm saying? It's like a college situation, man. I'm upset. I'm upset every week. And I'm like, okay, Jerry, what are you going to do different? Are we going to try to change up the offense? Well, this is what we got. We got us an option quarterback.
Ooh.
That is playing quarterback in the NFL.
Wow, okay.
And then you look at it and you say, well, I mean, it is what it is. Yeah. I can throw a ball further than Dak. And I ain't played quarterback since my senior year in high school, Doc. Real talk.
Hey, Mike.
But I like Dak and I like the situation, but I think the way that they have him set up, it's a setup to fail.
Mm. Hey, Mike, let me ask you this real quick, man. This is Ray. Now, I don't know if you're old enough to remember Herschel Walker being a member of the Cowboys, but do you feel like...
I was there for the trade, bro.
Oh, all right. I was just making sure. I'm just checking you. I don't know. You might be young, which is not a bad thing either. But
I'm old school, baby. I'm old school. I've been following this team since I came out the womb.
All right, well, you're going to see where I'm coming from. Are they wasting Ezekiel Elliott's talent similar to how Herschel Walker was wasted back in the day?
I would say yeah, to a certain extent, because of the fact that he has an opportunity to do a lot more because he has a quarterback. He's not dealing with Steve Palour and all Gary Hogaboom. He's got a quarterback that actually can do something to take some a little bit of the pressure off of him. A little bit. The problem is this, and this is 100% truth. You know, I look at the Washington Redskins, and you look at the wide receivers that they have.
Mm-hmm.
I would take Josh Dobson as a number one.
Because he's seen him at TCU. Because he's seen him.
I watched him.
Yeah,
I watched him grow up.
It's not TCU, though.
You know? But here's the difference. Here's the difference between him and Michael Gallup.
Okay.
Alex Smith, although Alex Smith is not a guy, he got done because he wasn't pressing the ball by the field, down the field. Alex Smith was the number one overall draft pick. Dak was a fourth rounder for a reason. Alex was the number one for a reason. Alex, the reason why Alex Smith hadn't had that much success, let's just be honest. He had five coaches and offensive coordinators while he was in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man.
And some bad ones, too.
Dak has the exact same one. And the offensive coordinator, and he hadn't evolved yet. And people will sit there and say, "Man, I don't think Mike is a Dallas Cowboy fan." I mean, check my Instagram @hardballhards. Hey, check @hardballhards @HARDGE.
Mm-hmm.
Check my Twitter @hardballhards. You'll see me. I'm not in a uniform. I got the shirt. I got the pullover. I got the hat. I went to the star for Big 12 Media Days.
Uh-huh.
And my son was playing in Frisco for a soccer game. He's 10. I took my family to the star to take pictures over there. So don't get it twisted as Mike ain't even a Cowboy fan. Mike is 100% Cowboy fan. The problem is this. I'm tired of losing. I'm tired of watching the same thing every single weekend. And as a Washington Redskins fan, you can understand it because you're tired of it too.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Mike.
If you look at our division, why are the Eagles so much better? They got lucky. They got lucky, to be honest with you, man. I know Nick Foles. I know his daddy. I know Nick from here. I hang out with him. We play in golf tournaments together all the time. Nick is a solid quarterback, and I really, truly believe in Nick. I'm mad Jerry Jones didn't sign him because if you look at if Dak Prescott gets hurt tomorrow, we're dealing with Cooper Rush. Y'all have Colt McCoy and every Texas fan in the state of Texas. The Washington, you go up and down the East Coast, they will take Colt every day over someone named Cooper Rush.
hey, Mike, man, I didn't realize how much Texas ties the Redskins had till now. Adrian Peterson, too, I know we could talk about him. But
right.
real quick, I want to just piggyback on something you said. You mentioned you would take Josh Dotson as a number one receiver, which many around here are not feeling him right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For obvious reason. He hasn't produced, and maybe he hasn't had the opportunity. He's been injured in some other things. But there's Brian. He's out there on the market. As a guy who's watched the Cowboys for all these years, do you think the Redskins should sign a guy like this?
I do believe that, and I'm surprised. Honest to goodness, I am surprised Dez has not been signed. I watch him. I've seen him. I'm a Cowboys fan, so I'm critical of every single move, just like Redskins fans.
Of course.
I mean, y'all are ready to get rid of everybody, just like we are.
Yeah, it's so true.
This is what we grew up on. This is the teams that we've rooted for all of our lives. We've seen the growth. We've seen the struggle. We've seen the failures. Dez Bryant was not the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Dez really, I mean, if you break it down, Tony Romo's biggest problem was what? He took too many risks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Dak Prescott's problem is he doesn't take enough risk.
Yeah.
So, you know, you sit there. I mean, how many games has How many games has Dak Prescott thrown over 200 yards? I mean, you can really literally count them on one hand.
Mm-hmm.
That's embarrassing for this NFL that we are dealing with now. A lot of people around here have been calling the NFL like the Big 12. Everybody can let it fly.
Yeah.
Everybody should be passing over 300, 400 yards. But those guys aren't a success story in the NFL from the Big 12. So you sit and you look at it, it's like, you asked me about Josh Dotson. Yeah, I think Josh could be in the right system because he was that. It's a big dude, man.
Mm-hmm.
I just think they're using him in the wrong way.
Mm. Ooh, so
same. I think he should be one of the guys that you should stretch.
Okay,
and I think he's another guy that you need to bring across the middle.
Okay. So he's not. Well, you look at Josh Dotson as a route. I mean, you watched him in TCU more than probably we did, and I thought I watched enough of him. But I mean, obviously, you saw him more than I did. Do you think he's could he be a decent route runner? Because I thought he would be a poor man. AJ Green.
I think he could be a decent route runner, but the person that I think you can use him as the big wide receiver that can go and fight for a ball.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. It's like, Gaz ain't a good route runner either.
Yeah.
But if you throw it up to him, he going to fight. And that is the thing. Like everybody kept saying, well, we're going to make this team Dak friendly. We're going to make this team Dak friendly. Dak hasn't thrown over 200 yards in five games this year. Five. Come on, man. You know what's been keeping the Cowboys in the game?
That defense.
That defense, number two in the NFL.
Yeah. That defense has been very impressive. Very impressive.
Very impressive. They haven't turned it over. Yeah. Like, just recently, they just turned it over.
Mm-hmm. So I wanted to ask you that about the defense. So on that defense, who would you say is their best player on the defense?
Well, to be honest with you, and if you've listened to our show on AM 1300, the Zone, IR Radio, bro, I have been going nuts about Van Der Esch. I was so mad about them drafting him. I was like, what are they doing? This dude ain't even played 11-man football. He was hurt at Boise State. And look at our roster. Look at the Cowboys roster. Mm-hmm. I think they got five guys that are starting from Boise State. Would you draft Boise State players?
Not really.
You know what I'm saying? Right. And I think they got five of them on there. DeMarcus Lawrence is raising hell. And Leighton Van Der Esch has shown up so big on film that it has driven me nuts because I was not a fan at all. But this dude, he is going to replace Sean Lee strictly because of the fact Sean Lee loves being hurt. Loves it. Loves it. You know, because you know the biggest story that you ever heard was the Cowboys can't win with Sean Lee.
Yeah, that used to be a big
thing. They have won three games without Sean Lee.
That is amazing.
So when you break it down, you look at it, you're like, okay. Yeah, I thought that. But now it's like, okay, it's kind of like the Texas Longhorns.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at them and you're like, well, they can't win with this. They can't win with this. Well, they're 6-1.
Mm-hmm.
Cowboys are 3-3.
Oh, yeah. Maryland beat Texas.
Right. That's what I'm saying, man. I knew you had to throw that out there, dog. I'm still sick with it. All right. And I'm telling you right now, people here, they ain't forgot either. They ain't forgot.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. We have co-host the Bottom Line on iHeartRadio, AM 1300, The Zone. Mike Harge on the line. So, Mike, before we let you go, Mike, let our listeners know about your radio show and also with how they can catch you on social media.
On social media, you can meet me at you can meet me at Hardball Harge, HARDGE, on Instagram and on Twitter. And then you can follow us on at AM 1300 The Zone on Instagram and Twitter. And then you can follow us on, or you can listen to us every morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Central Time on iHeartRadio. And it's called The Bottom Line with Chip Brown and Hardball Harge.
Oh, man. Hey, Mike, man, we appreciate you being on. Hopefully, you know, we'll have you on next time when the game's in Texas.
Oh, absolutely, and I'm just gonna tell you this right now.
All right, man.
I'm telling you right now. I'm nervous about this weekend.
We nervous too, Mike. We nervous too. Don't get it twisted. This game is always, you own us at home. The Cowboys own the Skins at home. We haven't beat, Jay Gruden hasn't beaten this team at home yet, so.
You got a different quarterback now, man. You got a different quarterback.
I know, right? I know. Hey, Mike, we appreciate you, my man.
I appreciate you having me.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
Bet.
Again, man, that is Mike Harge, co-host of Bottom Line iHeartRadio AM 1300, The Zone. So make sure you check this show out.
Pretty dope. Yeah, when you hear about Josh Dotson, when you think about.
That's cool that you got another point of view.
Texas ties.
Yeah.
You think about. People still loving Colt McCoy and would take him as a backup quarterback out there. It shows you that the Redskins may have some talent that we don't appreciate.
That ain't that the truth. It does. Anyway, we'll make our week 7 NFL picks after break. You listen to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces. are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Ray and Wally. We'll tease out. Check out the Football Garbage Time podcast at www.footballgarbagetime.com. We are doing a weekly pick'em challenge with them for week 6. Ray went 11-4. That was a good record, man. I went 9-6. Will T went 7-8. Last place as always. From the Football Garbage Time crew, Scott went 10-5. Hakuman went 9-6. Ryan went 8-7. And Joanne went 7-8. Our homie George went 7-8 as well. Here are our overall records. Ray is now in first place at 53-38-2. I'm in second, 52-39. Will T is 48-43-2. Again in last place as well. And I'm sorry, I'm 52-39-2. Excuse me. And Will T is 48-43-2. Last place. I'm going to say it again as well. Last place again as well. Repeat. Last place again as well. here are our picks for week 7. Broncos versus the Cardinals. Ray?
Man, I'm telling you, I'm torn. Last week, I went against my Falcons, which I've done 2 weeks in a row. I had to because they just too many injuries. Now Devontae Freeman out on IR, man. I just can't pick them. Anyway, going on to this week, I want to pick Arizona. I really do at home on a Thursday night, but I got to go with Denver. I can't gamble on this one.
Give me the Cardinals. Titans versus the Chargers.
I got the Chargers.
Give me the Chargers. Patriots versus the Bears.
I'm going to take the Bears.
It's in Chicago. Okay, yeah. I got the Patriots. Bills versus the Colts in Indy.
I got the Colts.
Give me the Colts. I had the Patriots. That's how I got the Patriots.
Yeah, you did.
Okay, I got the Colts. Lions versus the Dolphins in Miami. Got
to take the Dolphins.
I have the Lions. Vikings versus the Jets in New York.
Give me the Jets.
Give me the Jets as well. Panthers versus the Eagles in Philadelphia.
I'll take Philly.
Give me the Panthers. Browns versus the Buccaneers in Tampa.
I'll take the Buccaneers.
I got the Bucks. Texans versus the Jaguars at Jacksonville.
I'll take Jacksonville.
I got Jacksonville as well. Saints versus the Ravens at Baltimore.
Give me the Baltimore Ravens.
Give me the Ravens as well. Rams versus the Niners in San Francisco.
I'll take the Rams.
Give me the Rams. Cowboys, Skins.
I got the Cowboys.
Give me the Skins. Bengals versus the Chiefs in Kansas City.
Give me the Kansas City Chiefs.
Give me the Chiefs. Giants versus the Falcons.
I got the Falcons this week.
And give me the Falcons. Will T picked. I'm looking at Will T's picks right now. Will T picked. Will T picked the Broncos, the Chargers, the Bears, the Bucks, the Dolphins, the Eagles, the Colts, the Chiefs, the Vikings, the Texans, the Ravens, the Cowboys, the Rams, and the Falcons.
Yeah, our picks are almost identical.
I think so too. It sounds
like
one. It seems like it.
He picked the Colts, which is he picked. Who did he pick? Did he pick the Titans? No, he picked the Colts.
He picked the Texans. The Texans over the Jaguars.
Okay, that's the only game we got different.
Yeah, the Texans over the Jaguars. Interesting. Everything's pretty much the same, though.
Doggone it.
Who knows? But hey, man, you're in first place, so you're good. We're trying to catch you.
Who cares,
man? We're trying to catch
you,
man.
It changes from week to week. You know that.
It sure does.
I had how many weeks in a row where I was like 7-8? And the last 2 weeks, I've been 11-4.
You've been beasting the last 2 weeks.
Last week I didn't pick as many upsets. The week before is how I caught up.
I picked
a lot of upsets.
Yeah, you did. You picked a lot of upsets.
The previous week.
All right, the Wizards open their season Thursday night against the Miami Heat. Truth About It's Wizards reporter Troy Halliburton will join us after the break. You listen to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces.
My turn to cut the food, pass the plate, wear my drink, this my day. Lucky you, hope you do. Woo!
Y'all gotta move. Y'all gotta move. Y'all gotta move. Give me some room. Give me some room. Give me the juice. How about the coupe? How about the coupe? How about a shoot? Y'all gotta move. Y'all gotta move. Give me the juice. Back on my bullets. My back to the wall. Turn my back on you. All of you finished. Back to these bullets. It's back to the job. Put my map out and all of you running. Back on my hood. It's just back to the pushing. These tax and I'm actually pumping. Can't fuck with you rappers. You practically sucking. You might have went platinum, but that don't mean nothing. I'm actually buzzing this time. Straight out the kitchen. I told them the oven is mine. I do not fuck with you guys. If I don't kill you, just know you gon' suffer this time. I ain't no gangster, but I got some bangers, some chains and some blazing, a couple of nines. Choppers and jimmies, a partridge of Petri. My 20s and Christmas was nothing but lies. I run at you hot like a sumo. They say I talk like a chulo. I live in Mars, I'm not Bruno. If you're my duck, call me Cujo. You play your cards, I reverse on you all, and I might just drop all like a uno. Gallas, they woke up my homie, they call it Obuto, and all of you culo. Step the better to level up in the ghetto, looking for something I probably can never find now. You shake a relevant till the beat die down. The truth is, if you really want me tied down. I've been alone and I never needed nobody, just only me and my shawty, I tell you, into the lie down. Keep all the money, I never wanted a lifestyle. I just pray to God, I'm a son of a yard right now. I said, ain't no love for the other side or anyone.
on whoever wants smoke. When I die, I'm going out as an underdog who never lost hope. You in the wrong cab, down the wrong path, the wrong way, wrong road. Snakes in the grass, trying to slither fast, I just bought a fucking lawnmower.
I said a lot of things in my day. I admit it, this is payback in a way. I regret it that I did it. I done won a couple Grammys, but I sold my soul to get them. Wasn't in it for the trophies, just the fucking recognition. Fuck the difference, I'm that cracker, been the law. Fuck the rules, man, I used to risk it all. Now I got too much to lose. I've been eating long enough, man, my stomach should be full. I just ate, licked the plate, my buffet. Lucky me, fuck you think. I got a couple of mentions, still I don't have any manners. You got a couple of ghostwriters, but to these kids it don't actually matter. They're asking me what the fuck happened to hip-hop. I said I don't have any answers, cause I took a nap when I dropped my last album. It hurt me like hell, but I'm back on these rappers. And actually coming from humble beginnings, I'm somewhat uncomfortable winning. I wish I could say what a wonderful feeling. We're on the upswing like we're punching the ceiling, but nothing is feeling like anyone has any fucking ability to even stick to a subject. It's killing me, the inability to pin humility. Why don't we make a bunch of fucking songs about nothing and mumble? I'm crooked, I'm going for the jugular. This is a circus, you clowns that are coming up. Don't give an ounce of a motherfucker about the ones who are here before you that made rap. It's recap, way back, and tease that. Recap on tape decks, eight dance for the G-Raps and came back. We need three stacks ASAP and bring that the ace back, cause it's half of these rappers have brain damage. All the lean rapping face tats rubbed out like tree sap. I don't hate trap and I don't wanna seem mad, but in fact what I owe me at the same cat that would take that feedback and aim back. I need that, but I think it's inevitable. They know a button to press it, whatever the pull to give me the snap though. And if I paid attention, I'm probably making it bigger, but you've been taking it bitch and I'm fucking back walking on the freaking minute. Got me thinking of finishing everything with a seed of minutes and reaping the benefits. I'm asleep at the wheel again as I'm peeking and thinking about an evil intent of another beat. I'm a killigan, cause even if I got it in a beating a pillagan, even ketamine and methamphetamine with a mini then it better be at least 70 or 300 milligram, and I might as well, cause I'ma end up being a villain again. Level to this shit, I got an elevator. You could never say to me I'm not a fucking record breaker. I sound like a broken record every time I break a record. Nobody could ever take away the legacy I made. I never cater, motherfucker. Now I got a right to be this way. I got spikes inside my DNA, but I roll till the wheels fall off. I'm working tirelessly, ayy. It's the moment y'all been waiting for, like California wishing rain to pour, and that drought y'all been praying for, my downfall. From the 8 mile to the South Pole.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. No, they don't know where they hear you, right? Wally, Ray Jeezy. Hey, Will T's out waiting on my boy Troy to give us a call, but if he doesn't, he doesn't. The Washington Wizards, they start their season Thursday night against the Miami Heat. It's their home opener and season opener. What are your thoughts about that game for the Washington Wizards? Is that a tough one for you?
You know what? The Miami Heat are a team that they play extremely hard. They play well together, and I think that the Wizards definitely have a good chance at home. But everybody's been talking about John Wall off season, and I read a good article about John Wall recently. Yeah. It talks about a pattern of him gaining weight after surgeries.
Yeah.
So I think John Wall won't be in top form because of that reason, but come midseason, he should be back. He's the leader of the team. Bradley Beal, though, showed he was capable. With John Wall being out last year, I think he'll lead the team in scoring in a victory over the Miami Heat.
All right, right now we have Truth About It's Wizards reporter Troy Halliburton on the line. What's going on, Troy?
What's up, Wally? How you doing, man?
Everything's good, man. So we're talking about Thursday's game. The Wizards are taking on the Miami Heat. Thursday night's the season opener, and it's the home opener. What are your thoughts of this Wizards team going into Thursday night?
I'll say that I'm cautiously optimistic for the Wizards heading into the season. I think that there are two factors. I think that, you know, the Dwight Howard addition, he's a major upgrade over Gortat. I know he didn't practice throughout the preseason.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I honestly believe that he might have scammed the team a little bit and tried to get a free 3 weeks of rest.
I think so too.
But and then the other fact, I think this team has the most depth that I think they have had in the John Wall era.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of Dwight Howard finally he fully partaked in practice for like the first time in a while. What are his chances of playing Thursday night? And if he does play, do you think he'll play well against Hassan Whiteside?
I think that it will be up in air for him to play. And even if he does play, I'm not sure if he even starts.
Okay.
I think that Scott Brooks has a lot of confidence in Yao Mahimi, who, you know, he has played very well this preseason, you know, expanded his game, shooting three-pointers. And, you know, he looks like the guy that they thought that they were signing in 2016. You know, of course, he wasn't healthy, you know, for his first 2 years, and he really didn't play well. So that kind of compounded, you know, a running issue. But I think I feel confident going into the first game of the season with Mahimi as the starting center.
Okay, so what style should we expect to see Thursday night from this Washington Wizards team?
You said what now?
I'm sorry. What style should we expect to see from this Washington Wizards team? Like offensive
style? Think the style that you'll see on Thursday is the same style that they've been exhibiting in the preseason, and that's the new pace and space era.
Okay.
You know, Scott Brooks said that he wants to increase the amount of threes that they take, and he wants to see them last year.
Mm-hmm.
They ranked 26th in the NBA in three-pointers attempted, but they ranked fourth in the NBA in three-pointer field goal percentage. So what that says is they make a lot of they make threes, but they're just not taking enough of those threes. So in the preseason, they made a concerted effort to take up to 33 points per game. I think they averaged like 35 threes per game in the preseason, whereas last year, you know, they only took around 24 three-pointers per game. So, you know, I think that the increasing the volume of the three-pointers is a very specific style that will help out the Wizards going forward. And it gives John Wall the ability to be able to run the floor and, you know, just kind of find his shooters in those pockets and, you know, kind of increase his productivity too.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene right now. We have Truth About It's Wizards insider Troy Halliburton on the line. So, Troy, going into the season, which player should we keep our eye on? Like, who's that player that people be surprised about?
Well, I think the X factor player for the Wizards this year will be Kelly Oubre Jr.
Okay.
Kelly Oubre, like, I think I would say that the Wizards played at their best last season is when they went to the small ball lineup with Markieff as center and Porter and Oubre as the forward.
Okay.
So in order for them to go to that lineup, Oubre has to, you know, he has to take that next step with his game. And I think that, you know, he's going into a contract year. So, you know, he has big financial incentives for him to have his best season of his career.
Okay, so you feel like, he's still an ex, he's the unknown to you, right? It's not a given that you think he's going to play well. You're just thinking that it's up to him, right? It's up to Oubre.
I think that there are things that I think John Wall, I think we know what we're going to get from Wall and Beal.
Okay, I got you.
We know what we're going to get from Otto Porter. Yes, we can expect a little bit more from Otto Porter, but we kind of know who Otto Porter is as a player.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest factor that we don't know is Kelly Oubre, and I think that's the key to the difference between this team being, you know, an Eastern Conference title contention or, you know, possibly getting bounced in the first round again.
Yeah, I totally agree. So Scott Brooks, and, you know, I've been very opinionated with Scott Brooks. Me and you have had discussions about him. Is this a make or break year for Scott Brooks as the head coach for the Washington Wizards?
I don't think it's a make or break year for Scott Brooks because I think that he is showing the progression as a coach that, you know, that the previous head coach never really exhibited. You know, under Randy Whitman, they were taking long twos. They were, you know, just not really adhering to the new analytics world of basketball. Where Scott Brooks, I mean, he's admitted that he didn't know everything that he needed to know as far as analytics and shot selection and all that when he took over the Wizards job. But as he has matriculated through the job, he's getting better as a coach. And I think that one of the things that I've noticed when you look behind the scenes, when you see, you know, some of the hires that Brooks is making on his coaching staff, he hired Robert Pack, who used to be at OKC.
Mm-hmm.
The head coach of the new Capital City Go-Go team is Jarrell Christian, who came from OKC under Scott Brooks. One of the head scouts came over from OKC. So the team seems to be giving Scott Brooks a little bit of control of things that are going on within the franchise and allowing him to pick his own people. That doesn't really say that, you know, that he's on a leash or anything. Like, you don't give that person that type of power.
That's true.
If you believe that, you know, you could be firing him at the end of the year. So I think Scott Brooks is a staple, and I think, you know, you can see him finishing out his contract at least.
Hey, Troy, I think this is a perfect segue. This is Ray, by the way. You mentioned the coaching
staff.
What's
up, Ray? How you doing,
hey,
man?
What's good, brother? You mentioned the coaching staff, and a historic hire was made, at least for us, with Christy Tolliver being added to the staff. We cover all the monumental sports. I think it's huge. We loved the Mystics. What do you think about that?
Man, I think it's a great look for the team because, number one, she has a wealth of knowledge about the game. And when it comes to, I guess, her specialty for the coaching staff will be teaching the ball handling and getting the ball handling drills and getting them warmed up. And as somebody who's been to a lot of the practices so far through the training camp, I mean, she does good work with them. Like, she has them going through different routines and stuff before the game. The players seem to be taking well to her. And, I mean, like I said, she has the experience, and, you know, she's already in the Monumental Sports family. And, you know, I feel like a lot of people don't realize that, you know, the WNBA players, they don't get paid a lot of money. So,
they don't. I know.
You know, for her, so a lot of them, they end up getting second jobs in the off season. So, I mean, as far as a second job goes, this is about as good as she can do.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think that she probably will have a future in coaching, whether that be on the men's side or the women's side.
Mm.
Oh, I agree. Hey, so Troy, before we let you go, let our listeners know about Truth About It and your content as well, and on social media too.
Okay, yeah. So I got Truth About It. The ESPN True Hoops site. We're pumping out a lot of coverage this year for Wizards basketball.
Oh, I've seen it too, bro.
yeah. So, and I'm down there pretty much. You know, not every day, but I'm down there at the practice facility checking out the practices, getting viral quotes from John Wall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we. We're trying to do a little something out there.
Yeah, stop being modest, though, man. You're doing big things, bro. Stop being modest.
Nah, man. Hey, we got to keep it humble because this is just the beginning, man. We're trying to put in the best work, trying to make this the best season yet.
And you're not trying. You're definitely doing, my man. You're definitely doing.
Yep. You're definitely doing it big. Yeah, so everything, I'm just excited to, you know, it seems like just last week we were watching J.R. Smith blow game one of the finals. And now, you know, basketball's already back.
I know, man. But we're watching and doing the show at the same time. So, yeah, we're excited as well, my man. We're excited as well. All right, but Troy, man, thanks again, man. Hoping to have you throughout the season, my man.
You guys hold it down, man. Let me know when I'm going to catch you guys at Capital One Arena.
Oh, you will. We'll let you know.
All right, man.
All right, Troy.
Yep.
All right. Again, that is my man, Troy Halliburton, from Truth About It. He's the Washington Wizards reporter. Great dude. But up next, we're going to talk about WBO welterweight champ Terrence Bud Crawford retaining his title Saturday night. But did he impress? We'll discuss that after breaking into the Urban Sports thing for ages. You dig? Deuces.
Change
your
game.
I know, right? You're listening to the Urban Sports here. Myself, Wally, Ray Jeezy, Will Tease out. We're watching this Philadelphia Sixers, Boston Celtics game. You're right, Ray. It's amazing how the NBA does change the game. Marcus Smart to the deep three. Kyrie Irving for the pull-up three off. Saturday night, Terrence Bud Crawford TKO'd Jose Benavidez Jr. Did I say it? Benavidez. I said it right. Jr. in the 12th round to retain his WBO welterweight title. Thoughts on the fight?
What I thought was very interesting is that Terrence Crawford was in control the entire fight, but yeah, he couldn't hurt him.
He couldn't hurt him, yeah.
Couldn't hurt him. He obviously got the knockout. He caught him with a good shot, but he couldn't hurt him. And it brought out the skeptics, of course.
Yeah, like me.
right. Well, we like Errol Spence anyway.
I like
we
Errol
say
Spence.
That.
Yeah,
but
I like Errol Spence.
I also read just some comments on Twitter, and somebody made a good point. Like, I don't want to watch any more Bud Crawford fights unless it's against Sean Porter or Keith Thurman or somebody good.
Irrelevance,
right. It's annoying, even though he's building his brand.
Yeah.
Shout out to Omaha. It was a good look.
Yeah.
But he couldn't hurt Benavidez.
Yeah.
Although he was in control, because Benavidez wasn't even throwing punches.
Yeah.
Which shows he had respect.
To me, Benavidez Jr. was fighting. He was fighting off one leg, and what I saw that kind of court that how I thought about Errol Spence is better. Benavidez, hit Crawford with a body shot, and that kind of caught him. Like, you know what I mean? And I was thinking
it definitely caught him.
It caught him, right? And I was thinking to myself, like, Errol Spence, that's his game, bro. Like, his game is body work. And from that point on, I was like, if that hurt Bud, what Earl Spencer going to do to you ain't is going to be 10 times worse. So to me, looking at Bud Crawford, just comparing him to fighting, to say putting him in a situation of fighting Earl Spencer Jr., I don't think he want that smoke. I don't think he ready for that smoke. I think Bud is very skilled, though. I think he's very skilled.
Bud, I like his jab. Again, he controlled the fight with the jab.
His technical craft is amazing.
But no, Errol Spence is right there with him when it comes to that.
Yeah.
They're not even evenly matched. Errol Spence has more power.
Exactly.
His speed might be better, and he goes to the body. But that fight might take a while, although, again, I've read some articles saying that Bob Arum may be willing to negotiate a good deal because right now you got the ESPN – deal that plays a role in terms of maybe being an obstacle. And then Bud Crawford is kind of like Canelo. He's a draw, even if sometimes he may not be the more skilled fighter.
Yeah.
So it's going to be hard. And
He's not a pay-per-view draw, but he's a regular TV
draw. Right, of course.
Draw.
If I'm Errol Spence, though, I'll do whatever it takes to make that fight happen. But even if it's not Errol Spence, could it be I'll even take Danny Garcia or Mikey Garcia.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take Sean Porter.
I'll take whoever.
If they want to fight him,
they all want to fight him. They feel like he ducks everybody.
But
Bud gets mad when you say that to him because he's like, I don't handle the negotiations to make the fight.
I feel like I want him to fight somebody of substance. I've said this for a while. I think Gamboa was the best dude he's fought. And Gamboa was done. It gets to a point where you want to see him fight some of the biggest, baddest dudes on the planet. And I know somebody had an argument with somebody. I said that at least, regardless of what you think about him, at least that Errol Spence fought like a Lamont Peterson, a guy who's done it before. You can't even say that about Bud Crawford. You can't. And you can say whatever. I said so. I posted this on Twitter after watching the fight. How do you think Crawford matches up to the IBF welterweight champ Errol Spence Jr.? People tweeted me about it. Our boy Armand Lee tweeted, Benavidez isn't a true welterweight and he was on one leg. I love Bud, but I don't think he matches up well versus Spence. Sadly, I don't think we will see this fight. Chris Brown tweeted, I think Errol would win easily, mainly because I believe he's too strong. Spence is a natural 147 welterweight, while Bud is more of a 140 welterweight and has only fought at 147 for a year. Our boy George tweeted, I'm back in Crawford, who for me is either one or two in the pound for pound ranking in the world. And he demonstrated that against Benavidez Jr. He has the necessary power to defeat Spence. And Mike Knox tweeted, Crawford is pound for pound the best boxer in the game.
I'm sorry. I can see the bias in some people.
Yeah.
George, I love you, brother. I'm glad you support our show the way you have. But yeah.
That one ain't the one.
Crawford is not ready for Errol Spence.
He's not ready for that word.
I hate this conversation because I think it was Armand Lee pointed out, this fight ain't going to happen for a while. The politics of boxing is ridiculous.
It is.
But it's some fact that you're ruining a sport that really, in that division, could bring this sport back to the prominence that we knew it was when we were watching it when we were younger. Man, I'm wondering who Terrence Crawford's next fight is going to be. I would love it to be against one of the guys I mentioned earlier.
I just hope it's a big-time boxer.
I wish Keith Thurman would come back.
Talking about a ducker. That's a ducker for real.
Well, he will get mad if you say that to him.
Yeah, it's the truth, though. I'm sorry, man. It is what it is.
He's dealing with injuries. But Terrence Crawford needs to fight the top guys. The bottom line, let's close this thing out, brother.
All right, man. It's time to wrap this show up. Thank you all for listening to the Urban Sports Scene. We appreciate you. You've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces. A mega. Lead us out, big homie.